Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Great to have you with us today, as it is a Basketball Baseball Friday presented by Abundance Energy. As far as baseball is concerned, Tech in Texas, the Longhorns ranked 24th at 7-5. Red Raiders, as Jeff said, ranked 17th, 10-2. Tonight's first pitch at 6:30, coverage at 6 on Double T 97.3. Tomorrow will be on 100.7 The Score with coverage at 1:30 and first pitch at 2, and then same thing for Sunday afternoon. Jamie, what have you learned or seen or observed that maybe you didn't know about this Tech baseball team going into this first conference weekend that maybe you didn't know a couple of weeks ago when the season got underway?
What have I learned?
Or maybe what has surprised you, or maybe what has stood out, or something, or is it kind of played out like you thought? I mean, in terms of just how people have performed, or what people have done, or how they've hit, how they fielded, how they pitched.
I think there's been certain guys that are for example, a couple of freshman pitchers have really been impressive that I didn't think maybe we're going to make as big of an impact early on, and like a Mac Hewer guy or a Parker Hutera, didn't expect them to jump into the roles that they're in already as one of your weekend starters and probably your potential closer in Hutera. So those would be a couple things. I expected Damian Bravo to be good. I didn't expect him to have this kind of start that he has had. So I would have guessed that Tracer Lopez would have been a mainstay at second base and near the top of your lineup and been a key guy, and kind of feels like he's been beaten out at this point by Travis Sanders, and Sanders is performing really well for the Red Raiders as a second baseman. So those are a few things that have surprised me.
Yeah, when you look at Bravo, 27 hits and 48 at bats, 562. That'll get people's attention.
I sure will. Yeah, it's been terrific.
How will they start pitching him differently, do you think?
Not really sure on that. We've seen Damian stay on breaking balls and hit them well, and then we've seen him handle the fastball. We've seen him use all fields. So good luck.
Yeah, he leads the country in doubles per game and in total doubles, and he's fifth in the country in RBI with 23, and then leading the Big 12 in average on base percentage and doubles. So yeah, he's don't wake him up, right? Don't make any suggestions to him. I mean, I know that you won't.
Yeah,
I know
that's
you
not won't something say, I do.
I know that you won't say, hey, you know, I've noticed that your bat is not quite as far back as what it usually is. You know, those kinds of things, those kinds of conversations, just, you know, stay away from that.
Okay.
It's like I got no suggestions today for Jazz Shavers, right? She had 29 points last night. I got no suggestions for her other than, hey, keep doing what you're doing, right? So maybe that's even too much of a conversation, probably.
You do you, Chuck.
So from Texas's standpoint, 7-5, you know, I wonder if they think the sky is falling down there. But when you look at their 7-5, it's not like, oh, 7-5, man, they're not a very good baseball team. You peel the onion back just a little bit and like, oh, they've played some pretty good teams. I mean, you have too, but maybe they would feel like they're maybe sputtering a little bit, or what? How would you gauge Texas coming into this series?
I think they've probably been decently happy with their starting pitching. I think they're probably worried a little bit more about their bullpen than anything else right now. Offensively, they've been doing all right as well. So I would guess they're kind of the opposite of the Red Raiders. They feel better right now about their starters than their bullpen.
Who would you like to see kind of take it to the next level this weekend? Is it Is it something for Jack Washburn, or is there a hitter that you're thinking about, or a fielder that you're thinking about? If you'd like to go, man, I'd like for them to kind of get over the hump, so to speak.
Yeah, I would. I'll take Jack Washburn, Jacob Rogers, and Zane Petty.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Washburn's a really good answer that you had, but I thought Zane Petty and Jacob Rogers have shown they're, you know, starting to turn the corner their last couple of outings. So I'm hoping that we continue to see that this weekend.
With regard to Washburn, what would be something and what define that success?
I'd like to see him get through five innings. He hasn't done that yet. And to be two runs or less, probably.
Okay. And then for the other guys?
I feel like it's important for Kyle Robinson to have some depth in his start tonight to save the bullpen for the rest of the weekend. So, you know, Kyle at six innings and two runs, something to that effect. Hewer, probably looking for the same kind of numbers from Washburn.
And kind of see what, because man, if you could pick up a win tonight and Kyle Robinson goes six, maybe into the seventh, if you want to dare to dream a little bit, then that really sets you up huge for Saturday and for Sunday. So it'll be fun as the 17th ranked Red Raiders take on the 24th ranked Texas Longhorns. Hasn't always been like the home field advantage for these teams, but we'll see what happens tonight. And then tomorrow and Sunday afternoon, Texas Tech and Texas, as those two teams will play each other. Texas Tech with a 7-game winning streak coming into this one. And this is the final regular season series, obviously, for Texas Tech and Texas. It is 6:38 and some change here this morning on the Morning Drive. Your thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that, or the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline is open too at 806-771-0973. This day in sports history is coming up next on this Friday edition of the Morning Drive on TT973 and TT973.com.
This is the Morning Drive podcast from TT973, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today is March the 8th. It is Friday. It is time for This Day in Sports History, and here is Jeff McGuire.
Yeah, we're going to start in 1930. One of my favorite things happened that we've mentioned a couple of times before on This Day in Sports History. New York slugger Babe Ruth signs a 2-year contract for then a huge $160,000 contract. The GM, Ed Burrow, wrongly predicts no one will ever be paid more than Ruth.
That happens.
It's the no one ever is yes. The, like, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If Babe Ruth were playing today, he'd be a quadrillionaire, whatever it would be, right? But
would he?
No one would ever be paid more than $160,000 for 2 years. And yeah, he would be rich beyond wildest dreams.
I, you know, every time I see him swing and, you know, that big old gut, I just wonder, would he be effective today? I don't know. I don't think so.
What about his heavy legs?
Right. Yeah. Lumbering down there to first base, you know.
You're forgetting all the hot dog sponsorships and beer sponsorships he would have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
1966, baseball player, manager, and coach Casey Stengel is elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in a surprise ceremony. The surprise was due to his age. The 5-year wait was waived for Hall of Fame honors. So he had just retired, and then they put him in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
1971, Joe Frazier ends Muhammad Ali's 31-fight win streak at Madison Square Garden in New York City and remains the heavyweight boxing title by unanimous point decision over 15 rounds in the fight of the century. There's a famous picture taken during this fight. It's not of the fight because everyone was taking a picture of one specific person who was taking a picture of the fight, and that was Frank Sinatra.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, Frazier was always that guy, even though he won, he acted like sometimes like he still it wasn't good enough, just from the standpoint that he still felt like the smaller man versus Muhammad Ali. Like, Ali loses, but he still wins because he's still in Frazier's head, because Frazier's still trying to prove himself, even though he won. That was just kind of my take back from that era of boxing, and that Frazier never really felt like he was the bigger dude. It seemed like.
1986, Martina Navratilova is the first tennis player to earn $10 million. 1996, Corey Carr's 4 second-half three-pointers helped number 7 Texas Tech beat Rice 68-53 in a Southwest Conference Classic semifinal for their 20th straight win.
Mm. What year?
1996.
Yes, 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 yes.
And in 2022, reigning NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers agrees to remain with the Green Bay Packers for a reported four-year, $200 million deal that would make him the highest-paid player in NFL history.
Just one guy that got paid more than Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
And Martina Navratilova, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Happy National Peanut Cluster Day.
I'm good with that.
Sounds good.
Tomorrow, we have to celebrate a couple of birthdays before we get to today's. Tomorrow, Mike Leach would have celebrated a birthday had he not passed away. But Brad Reese tomorrow is 36.
Brad Reese is the coach at Midland High.
Huh. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. I believe it's High, not Legacy. Yeah, Midland High, I believe. Yeah. So he coached... So, I mean, he's in the same district as Friendship.
Ah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Today, happy birthday, Freddie Prinze Jr. is 48. James Vanderbeek is 47. Kenny Smith, 59. Lester Holt, 65. Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees is 79. Hines Ward, 48. Marcus Spears, 41. And Jim Rice is 71. And on this day in 2014... Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, carrying 227 passengers and 12 crew members, loses contact with air traffic control less than an hour after taking off from the airport and veering off course and disappears. Most of the plane and everyone on board are never seen again. Everything from terrorism to a suicidal pilot has been suggested for the reason for the disappearance. While some of the wreckage has washed ashore around the Indian Ocean, the bulk of the aircraft has never been discovered. And that is this day in sports history.
All right. It's such a bizarre deal with that. I mean, just crazy that they'd never found virtually anything as a result of that. And I was doubting you. I was thinking that Mickey Dolenz was dead, but you're right. He's still alive. He's still kicking. Hey, the Monkees. But, you know, Davy Jones is dead. But for the most part, you know,
Mickey Dolenz is the only one still alive of the group.
Dolenz is the only one that's still alive. Okay. That's pretty cool. Well, and he's 79, but man, that seems like starting to get young, you know, but you guys don't remember the Monkees. Did you ever watch the Monkees, Jamie?
I did not.
Okay.
My mom had a giant crush.
I remember that. I mean, I know the name and
yeah,
would recognize some of their songs, but yeah.
Yeah.
My mom had a giant crush on Davy Jones, like, you know, almost all of the people at the time.
Right.
So I have seen probably every episode of the Monkees TV series at least 3 times.
Okay. Hey, we're the Monkees. That's it. That's the song. That's how it went, Jamie.
Okay.
Wasn't all of it. You know, people say we monkey around. They're too busy singing just to put everybody down. So, you know, preferably, though, I would rather take the last train to Clarksville because it's much more fun.
Okay. Right. 6:53 this morning here on the Morning Drive. We'll talk some tech hoops. Next is the Red Raiders have a big one tomorrow against the Baylor Bears. Lady Raiders have a big one today. It's win or go home for them as they'll take on the Bears today at 11. We'll have coverage at 10:30 on 107.7. Yes, FM. This is the Morning Drive on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's great to have you with us. Yates Learning Center chat line is open. Go to the Double T 97.3 Mobile Bank. All right, Jamie, we've got new home basketball today. It's tonight, actually, in San Antonio, as new home will take on Lipan.
I think it's Lipan.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. I'll go with you. 2A state semifinals today in San Antonio. That'll be an 8:30 tip. That's the scheduled time. New home is ranked 17th. Lipan is ranked number 2. And this is a rematch from last year. So good luck to the Leopards tonight. And hope they win. If they win, they'll play the winner of Thrall and Shelbyville. That'll be tomorrow at 1:30. So quick turnaround for both those teams tomorrow for a state championship there at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. I know, I've noticed in Texas, it seems like outside of Texas, when they refer to San Antonio, it's San Antone. Going to go down to San Antone. I don't ever hear people around these parts saying San Antone. I just hear them say San Antonio.
I don't know that too many people say San Antone.
you don't think?
I wouldn't guess that a lot of people say that, but I could be wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so just good luck to the Leopards. Today is a new home place for the right to play for a state champion.
Don't buy a new home, Ian. Don't buy it. He's not supporting you. He's just trying to make you think he's on your side. Don't buy into it. He's still mad at you.
I am sick and tired of this narrative that you guys have tried to spread, and it creates this evilness against me by people that don't understand that you're just funning. Because I got bad one time because somebody said, aren't you going to bring up the new home score? And then you guys present this deal that I hate new home, which I do not. This narrative that's out there is just false. Lipan, two words. Okay. Lipan, two words. Oh, and somebody says it's 8:30 a.m. this morning. Well, I just saw 8:30, and so I assumed it was going to be 8:30 p.m. So it's at 8:30 this morning, Jamie. Wow.
Yeah, so that's not as quick of a turnaround.
No, it's early. It's early this morning. I mean,
that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Especially considering that they'll have a lot of games because they're playing these games at the Alamo Dome, which I think is awesome. I mean, gives kids of all levels of attendances, so to speak, to play in the big gym there in San Antonio. So thank you to the texters who corrected me on the time and on that. Somebody says, well, that was butchering that town. It's Lipan, like frying pan. Okay, well, excuse me, man. I've never heard of it before. So I'm sorry. I've not been like, that guy from Country Reporter and been to all the backwoods towns in Texas,
No, but how cool of a job is that? I mean, everywhere and hear all the fun stories of a place.
Right. All right. Let's get to the big news tomorrow for Texas Tech as the Baylor Bears will be in town for the Red Raiders in terms of hoops and inside the city limits. Here's the head coach, Grant McCaslin, with thoughts on the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, no, big day at home on Saturday for us. Obviously, it's senior day for a couple of guys, Warren and Joe, who've made significant impacts on our program and are just awesome people. So I love celebrating people that we love. And then Baylor, man, a lot of opportunity in this game. They're the best offense in the league right now. They're sharing the basketball. They're getting to the free throw line. I mean, I think they're playing as good as anybody in our league. So it'll be an awesome atmosphere and looking forward to the opportunity and honoring our seniors.
Which is crazy. Joe's on his third team with, but I mean, he's here last, right, Jamie? That's what matters.
And you're going to stop there? Warren's on his fourth.
Yeah, Warren's on his fourth. I guess it's like if you've been married multiple times, you're probably not going to be buried with your first wife. You'll probably be buried with your last wife, right? Isn't that kind of how it works, probably?
I would assume so.
I've only been married once and have no intention of being buried with my ex-wife.
Right,
no, none whatsoever.
I understand that. Let's get an injury update from the head coach on Warren Washington.
You know, if you told me before UCF, I thought he was, you know, 75 going into that game. But he got out there and made a few movements that stalled him pretty quick. And so I hate to even put a percentage on it. I can tell you this, he looks hopeful. I mean, he's got a weight to him right now that feels like Warren believes he's going to play in games and make an impact. And he's doing things with the basketball in his hand that gives us hope that when he does come back, he'll be ready with the feel and skill of the game. I mean, he hasn't let that slip. So, you know, game experience is different, but I do feel like Warren's moving in the right direction.
That sounds like he ain't playing tomorrow, Jamie.
He looks hopeful. That just makes me sad for Warren. Yeah, no, I'm with you, Chuck. I don't think he plays tomorrow. Oh man, I can't imagine how being a guy like Warren Washington, who, you know, is a senior and he's, you know, bought into this team and wants to help his team and is obviously a big time player, an important part to this squad, and he has to sit there and not be able to help the team and not be able to play, watching every time that clock hits zero, knowing he's only got 2, 3, 4 of these left, and him just have to sit there and watch them slip away without him, you know, getting to play. I can't imagine how frustrating that would be.
Right, and I also kind of wonder about what's his, no pun intended here, what's his next step? Is this go play overseas? That's probably most likely. I mean, he probably could make a ton of money playing somewhere overseas, but he's got to get healthy, and that foot is part of his moneymaker. And you know, he's got to be smart about it too, because you don't want to create a further injury by, you know, aggravating the injury that you have. And so that's got to play into it as well. So I'm sure they're being smart with it, but boy, I mean, you just got to kind of hope that he's able to get healthy, and you could sure use him, whether it's next week or the NCAA tournament. I would think if he's going to play again this year, next week might be, you know, once we get to the Big 12 tournament and you get the double bye, you get another week of rest, that would be probably the most likely time that we would see him.
Yeah, I would guess that. I mean, just the farther away from now that you are, that's what I'm guessing. That's when he's back playing, because it just seems like it's a time thing.
Yeah. All right, 7:23 and some change here this morning on the Morning Drive. We get this. My wife's ex-stepdad left her mom 4 years ago to go back to his first wife of 6 wives. Wow. That seems like a problem. Maybe that might have been a good riddance there for the other 5.
My head hurts just thinking about it.
My wallet hurts thinking about 6 marriages and divorces.
Yeah. I hope Washington and Tucson are remembered as Red Raiders. That would probably mean that we did really well in the tournament. Well, I think that you've done really well this season, so winning 10 games and putting yourself in the spot that you're in. But yeah, now you want more. Now that you've gotten this far, you want more when it comes to the NCAA tournament. All right, Jamie's question of the day is next this morning on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Thanks for being with us.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen. Today it is a bit of a three-parter. and I'm asking you to try to remember what you once thought. And your answers, all three of them, may be the same thing. Okay? But they may not be. Okay. Maybe three different answers. Okay. I'm asking you today to think back and tell me, non-conference, who did you think was the MVP of the men's basketball team? I want you to tell me who you thought was the MVP mid-season. Okay? Maybe we'll say, like, in the January. And now, who's the MVP, do you think, now? And again, they can be all three. Could be the same person. Or they could all be different.
Well, I think the MVP of the non-conference was Pop Isaacs. I think the MVP... You said for the conference and now? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I would kind of go mid-season, maybe late January, okay. Somewhere there.
Okay. Mid-season, I would say Joe Toussaint. And now I would say Darion Williams. I mean, or as Jeff Haxton likes to call him, D5. I mean, he ain't going anywhere without D5. And the fact that he's only a sophomore, man, I feel like that as long as you can hang on to him, exciting things are to come for that. For that young man.
He's already transferred once, so that's good news.
Yeah, right. Yeah. From Nevada, okay, to Lubbock. So I think this is a better place than Reno. Reno's dirty town, poor man's Vegas. You know, Lubbock's much more, I think, conducive to, I don't know, college lifestyle.
This is hard, 'cause I'm not sure who my now MVP is. It might be, I lean toward Toussaint, but when Pop is going, he's what's stirring your drink, and he needs to be the one going. So most important player is Pop, but you know, I still think Toussaint's been your most consistent player, mostly, for current. Mid-season was Pop. Until that slide in February, really. Preseason and non-conference, I think you got to go Devin Cambridge. He was just such a force until he got hurt that I would have loved to have seen him healthy all season long. He may have been the answer all season long had he been healthy. But I kind of answered that in reverse order, but the other two just jumped out. I didn't have the current one is the one I'm struggling with for where I would put the MVP.
Okay. I'm a little different than you guys. I definitely feel like a non-conference play, the first, you know, 10, 12, 14 games that this team ran off of Joe Toussaint. I thought he was terrific during that stretch. He really surprised me with what he could do, kind of remembering of who he was at his previous stop at West Virginia. I know there's another one before that, but I didn't see him play then. And I thought he was way better than I expected him to be. So I thought early season, Joe Toussaint was the guy. Throughout the course of the midseason, going up until the end of January, Warren Washington played. Because I remember going into Big 12 play worried that, yeah, he's done okay, but competition's going to get tougher. How's he going to do? And then when he was healthy in Big 12 play, he was killing it. I mean, he was crushing it. It felt like he was the most important player, the best player on your team, and really surprised me. But then he got hurt. And so now I don't think there's any question who it is right now. I'm surprised Jeff's struggling with this one. It feels like it's Darion Williams to me. And there's no question. I mean, he's been your most consistent player. He scores, he rebounds on a team that's struggling to rebound. He's the guy that gets it done. He's been, I mean, you look at his shooting percentages, not only is he your leading scorer, but his shooting percentages are really good. So it's not as if he's a volume shooter. I mean, he's efficient. He gives you some toughness, all the above. So I think if I'm going to say currently he's the MVP, and I'm going to say if I was going through the course of the entire season, he would be my MVP because of his consistency.
Mm-hmm. He's He started all 30 games that you've played, averaging, you know, 12.4 points a game for the entire year. And for the Big 12 portion of that, he's at 12.9. So it's not a great deal of difference there, up just a little bit. You know, the only thing I would say about Cambridge, Jeff, is I hear what you're saying. I just didn't think he played enough games. He played 8 games for you before he got hurt. I mean, granted, he was making a difference, no question.
You could definitely use him, no doubt.
Right. You could definitely use him, but you don't have him. So that's a good question, Jamie.
Well, I think the point that I guess I was trying to make with the question was that you could really come up with a bunch of different answers, and it's funny how it's changed through the course of the season. Of one guy playing really well during one stretch, a different guy during a different stretch, and a different guy right now. That's just kind of the way this team has been. And, I think that's a positive thing that on any given night, a different guy can step up.
And that's probably been one of the strengths of this team all season long is that, you know, even if one guy doesn't have his shot going, there's still an opportunity to get wins. And it's not just reliant on one guy. There's 3 or 4 guys that can be relied on that through the course of the season have been relied upon in several situations. Although I do go back to, you know, when Pop isn't playing well and he's not shooting it well, that does hurt more than others when he's not scoring.
Because he's the lead dog when it comes to scoring. And when you have expectations of, you know, what he's going to score each night, and he's also more of a, you know, volume shooter compared to Darian Williams, who's more efficient with his shots and all that. So when Pop's not going well, it really does affect the team more. And that's not to say, you know, that's not trying to be negative towards Pop. That's just kind of the way it is, because he's the lead dog, and there's a reason he's the lead dog. He kind of brings you confidence and aggression and all the above, and we want that from him.
I'm in line with Jamie 100%. I agree with Chuck, but flip Pop and Toussaint. Joe was great early. Pop carried us early Big 12. Darian Williams is the bright spot in February. All right, it's 7:39 this morning here on the Morning Drive. The Boom, Boom, Boom is next on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com.
This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, good morning. It is the Morning Drive on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. With Jamie Lent, Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from our respective First United Bank studios today as we talk hoops and baseball. We'll have Lady Raider basketball on the air for you this morning, 10:30, the broadcast time, 11 o'clock. The tip from the T-Mobile Center, which is right down the street from where we're staying. So hopefully we'll have a good outing today. We'll have it for you on 107.7 Yes FM. And then tomorrow, it's Red Raider basketball as they take on the Baylor Bears. Airtime 4 o'clock on Double T 97.3 and the tip at 5. And then tonight here on Double T 97.3, it's Red Raider baseball as the Texas Longhorns come to town for the start of Big 12 conference season. I got to tell you, Jamie, I'm really excited about today. I don't know why. I went to bed late last night. But I woke up a couple times in the night and just full of excitement. I'm ready for today for so many different reasons. But are you excited, giddy? Are you sitting on the edge of your chair for everything that's going on today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. It's a big series for the Red Raider baseball team, no doubt about it. And it's a massive one. It kicks off Big 12 play and tough competition and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. I was excited about the Lady Raider win last night. Big time excited about that. That being said, I think I'm a little bit nervous about today.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, one of the things that here's kind of the message that Coach Gurley gave her team last night in the team meeting after the win. She said, look, she goes, we have to be tougher. And then she pointed out from Baylor's standpoint, look, it's really hard to get a bye and then play. She said they 100% overlook us. She encouraged her team to play desperate. There's no pressure. Let's go get them. She made it clear that she was excited and it can be magical and that this is the best time of the year. And then when we had her on last night after the game, she talked about, you know, winning is like a drug, you know, it's like just gets you so fired up. So anyway, you never know what's going to happen. That's why they play the games. And I'll just tell you this. This is before the game last night, talked to former Lady Raider assistant, Brandi Poole, who's now WNBA coach and television commentator. And she said, I think they can get Baylor. She goes, Baylor is not Baylor. So we'll see. We'll see. And this is before the game last night. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I had a little bit of a conversation with Cheryl Swoops last night. She's in town to do some work. And I talked to her about Logan Johnson, and she's like, I really like her. I really like her. I mean, what a compliment for Logan Johnson, the freshman. I mean, just for Cheryl Swoops to make a comment about her. I mean, I initiated that a little bit because I'd asked her a few weeks ago what she thought about her. She's like, I really like her. And I said, and you really like Logan Johnson? She's like, I really like her. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway,
do either of those two have any eligibility left? You know, Cheryl Swoops and Brandi Poole, either one? That we could maybe get them a Lady Raider uniform for today. I'd feel a whole lot better with your chances at that point. I've stunned him into silence.
What do you mean?
Like, if Cheryl Swoops was available to play, wouldn't you want her on the roster?
Well, sure. Yeah. But I mean,
if Brandi Poole was available to play, wouldn't you want her on a roster?
Yeah. I'm just saying of the three, I think Coach Gerlich would probably be in the best shape to be able to do that. Okay, that's just my take from that. Anyway, so we'll see. That you asked me, I wasn't really sure what you were asking me there, but yeah, of course you take their eligibility, but it's unrealistic because they don't have any. So we'll see. All right, 8:06 this morning here on the Morning Drive. We'll have Texas Tech Red Raider baseball on the air for you tonight. Here is Coach Tim Tadlock talking about his team and getting prepared for Texas.
Traditionally, through a 14-week regular season, you need everybody kind of clicking, and you need as many guys playing at a high level as you can get them. And we've had some opportunities to get guys in games, so. You're not rolling anybody out there for their first appearance, I wouldn't think, this weekend.
That's Tim Tadlock. Kyle Robinson will go today for the Red Raiders. Jamie, what have you seen from him that you really like?
The fastballs is really good for Kyle. He's spotting it well. His secondary stuff is working. It feels like he's keeping hitters off balance and missing barrels and. First and foremost, his command's been good. That's been the first couple of seasons, the thing that's been a little bit inconsistent with Robinson, but so far so good this year.
And then obviously do you know enough today to say that the matchups that Texas provides against him are good or is that something that you get a feel for better throughout the game?
They're a good hitting team. There's no doubt. They're a good offense. Their offense is probably ahead of their pitching. So I think you got a really good pitching matchup tonight. So it might be a little bit more of a lower scoring game tonight. But I expect the offenses, both offenses, to do some good things this weekend.
So is this a high scoring series?
I don't know about high scoring, but I don't expect the games to be 3-2 and 2-1 or anything like that. I mean, I think you could see teams, you know, scoring 8 or 6 or 7 or something like that.
No, 10. All right. We'll make some predictions later on this morning as we'll have upon further review at 8:30. Here on Double T 97.3. This from the 8th Flooring Center chat line. So the king of hypotheticals on this show had a hypothetical go over his head, and it sounded like McGuire was serious. The radio silence was stunning.
In fairness to Chuck on the radio silence, I do think our Zoom connection paused for a moment because he was utterly frozen in time for a few seconds there. So I'm going to give some of the blame to Zoom.
Chuck, why are you messing? Or Jeff, why are you messing with the old man? Wow, the old man. The old man. Okay. Yeah.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.